I never shall forget the summer I was 19 when I learned how to slow down, sip life slowly, and watch the corn grow. That summer, I had the world on a string and paychecks in my pocket from 3 part-time jobs. I served the college kids of my hometown by making fancy coffee in a plain paper cup. I waited tables and poured plain black coffee in white china mugs for the white-haired retiree. And I rang up blouses and dress slacks at the JCPenney for the mom finally going back to work now that her youngest was in school. Always a new face, whether in the coffee shop, the restaurant, or the clothing store. The days sped by as quickly as I sped along the country roads, bouncing along in a hand-me-down 1990 Toyota Corolla. There was an old neighbor I passed regularly who sat on his front porch, taking stock of the countryside. He'd lift a slow hand to wave. I'd always wave back, but still careen around the curve well before his hand was back down. That curve ran at a 90-degree angle right in front of his house and begged all drivers to slow down so they didn't go crashing straight into his porch. I'd slow down, but just barely. I had life to live, after all, and I needed to be there in 5 minutes. That old neighbor had sat there as long as I could remember. I'd spent my growing up years in the country, and every night we ever passed his house, he faithfully sat on that front porch, sometimes with a glass of tea, sweating in the summer night. The entire scene fascinated me. Sometime before I was a 19-year-old speeding my way through summer, I made up my mind I'd go and sit with him sometime. I don't recollect what it was exactly that caused me one day not to just careen through that curve. I guess I didn't have anywhere else to be. I slowed down, pulled in, and stepped out of the car like it was nothing out of the ordinary, like he'd been waiting on me to show up all along. The sun beat down on my shoulders, and a stale, hot breeze blew gently as I stood quietly next to my car, fumbling my keys. "Hey, neighbor," I ventured. He nodded. That was the sum total of our conversation. I walked up, and he motioned me to sit on the porch down from him. We were a classy, unlikely pair. I wore a gauzy lilac dress, and he sat in an old red shirt and crusty overalls and weathered, leathered skin. We were at opposite thresholds of life. I was fresh and full of optimism and enchanted by possibilities around every bend. He had seen every bend, walked every mile, borne heavy-weighted loads of hard work and heartache, and had come out on the other side with soft, sad eyes, hundreds of wrinkles, and stories to tell. That first day, we sat in complete, full, lovely silence. Total strangers sharing a porch and a view of a freshly planted cornfield. The stalks were just beginning to emerge, begging for someone to appreciate their progress. By the time I left that afternoon, the corn stalks must have been 3 inches taller. The old neighbor and I had sat peacefully in silence, forging a friendship without words. As the sun began to set, I stood up slowly. Quietly, I acknowledged his hospitality. "Sure am grateful to you," I said. He nodded. "You have a good evening, hun. Come back anytime." I drove away, not quite as fast as I might usually. Something about that afternoon had stilled and slowed my thoughts, and it affected my driving. I couldn't lay my finger on it, but I knew there was value in sitting on that porch, and I knew I had to go back. And I did go back. Several times that summer, always sitting on the edge of his porch or in a lone rocking chair, he'd welcome me with a nod and a smile, holding a dripping glass of iced tea. Every day, we sat in silence, taking in the view of the countryside, kindred spirits harmonizing without a need to fill the air with words. And every day, the corn crept up taller, knee high one day, waist high another. Soon it soared to 8 feet, tassels and all, and set about drying out to a crisp in the scorching August heat. And every evening when I left, he'd say one thing. You have a good evening, hon. Come back anytime. The days started getting shorter, and I wasn't always able to stop by for a spell to watch the sun set over the cornfields. My visits with the old neighbor grew fewer and farther between. On the days I felt pressed between my coffee pouring and coffee making, I found myself wishing I could step away for a moment, freeze time, and sit in silence with someone who knew there was more value to life than just speeding through it. One rare afternoon in late September, I came home early, before the sunset. As I approached his house, I sighed. It had been several weeks since I'd seen him last. And as I lifted my hand to wave, a friendly but forlorn hello, I noticed something was different. For the first time in all the years I'd ever seen him sitting on his porch, he had a second chair pulled up beside him. That chair was for me. He knew I'd come back. I slowed. I didn't take the curve in front of the house. I pulled into his driveway and stepped out of that hand-me-down Corolla. I fumbled with my keys like I had that first day so many months behind me. Time seemed to blur and stand still. I smiled. He nodded toward the empty chair. I took my place, and he produced a second glass of tea out of nowhere. I settled into comfortable silence. There was a sun to set, a cornfield to watch, and a late summer evening to take its time unhurried by anything. There was silence to respect, and tea to sip, and nowhere to be except there. The summer I was 19, I learned how to slow down and watch the corn grow. I learned how to observe in silence and let an unlikely friendship bloom. I carry those spells of quiet, simple hospitality with the old neighbor deep in my heart, along with a few other cherished, hand-picked memories. Many years have passed. I've cashed out those three jobs and that old Corolla for 24/7 motherhood and a minivan. I still drive that old country road sometimes. I glance in the rearview mirror at my four little girls carrying on in the back seats. Little girls who I've learned to slow down for, learned to welcome into my space, learned to value just how fast they grow from one day to the next. They holler crop identification as we pass fields. Soybeans, tobacco, corn. I pass that old house at the curve. The old neighbor is long gone. But as I round the bend, I can hear his kind voice say, "You have a good evening, hon. Come back anytime." His words give wings to my heart. Thank you.
Corey, that story sounds very personal. Was that fair? Now, could you tell us about the genesis of it?
Well, it's a true story. There was an old neighbor. The curve did go sharply in front of his house. And I think I've just always been kind of a fairy tale romantic at heart. And just even through my youth and teen years, I thought, one day I'm going to go sit with them. And I did. And that's sort of how it just bloomed that year.
Did you ever formally study writing?
No. I blog, and I teach a little writing class here and there, and I've written a couple of unpublished yet picture books, but no, I haven't formally studied anything.
But it sounds like it is part of your everyday routine, or at least your frequent routine.
Yes, I think about writing in my head, but I also have four children, and so I write in my head. I correct things with a red pen in my head. I don't write a whole lot except for things like this.
Is there a particular author or a book that you draw inspiration from?
Absolutely. Harper Lee, To Kill a Mockingbird. Favorite, hands down.
Great answer. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey Johnson.
Thank you.